Pray along with me for illumination on God's word. Your word, O Lord, is our communion, unity, not division. Your gifts are abundance, peace, freedom, not scarcity, violence, and oppression. In Christ, you gave us the greatest gift, yourself. As we hear your word, draw us now into your holy presence with joy and humility. Amen.
The prayer for illumination. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong place. Scripture reading. Excuse me. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 853. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will God keep putting them off? I tell you, God will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
So we heard what Jesus said. God will see that God's chosen ones get justice, and quickly. And this is a surety, it's Christ's assurance. God will give the chosen ones justice. But who are they, the chosen ones? Well, we heard in our assurance of pardon, the Spirit of God is upon Jesus, and he brings good news to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. This is the agenda that God gave to Jesus, and he announced it in his very first sermon. The widow, the orphan, the poor, the vulnerable, the ones whom those who are greedy and caring only for themselves, who oppress the vulnerable, who oppress the prisoners, the blind who must beg at the gate of the wealthy. There is no doubt which side God is on, or which side we're on, as Christ's missioners here on earth. But Jesus does leave us with a question. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Faith, trust in God, trust that God will fulfill God's justice. This is what Christ is unsure about. Or it's what he asks a question about. And the question is for us. It's for us as Christ's disciples. Our mission is Christ's mission. And so, I think this is a hard lesson, and that's why I asked to have some special visitors today. I was inspired by Matteo Hallein, who is our neighbor. I was inspired by him because in April, on the 28th, Governor Murphy signed into law a special day here in New Jersey, and the day is called Pay It Forward Day. And this day, which now is part of New Jersey's calendar, came about because of somebody who started out as a 14-year-old, and he's our neighbor. His idea was that we'd ask the whole state to spend one day not thinking about ourselves, but thinking about people we could help. And I thought this was amazing. And it reminded me of our mission in the church, which is to go into the world, which is full of so much selfishness and greed, and just a kind of being overwhelmed. And that our job, like Mateo said, is to come and to encourage people to care and to encourage people to work together. So what I learned about Mateo is that his first charity event was a Halloween party at his home. And he asked each guest to bring donations to the Flemington Food Pantry. And then I read that they filled more than 5 bins with food. And to me, this reminded me of how the abundance comes and the feeding of the 5,000 in the gospel. Mateo's birthday is in December, and so on his birthday, he asks his friends and family to donate gifts to homeless children in lieu of himself receiving presents. He started this when he was 11 in middle school. And then he went to Family Promise of Hunterdon County, where we work with those families 6 times every year. And Mateo went to deliver the gifts, and he was overwhelmed by the reaction. He said, "There are kids that live there that are the same age as me. And it felt so good to drop off gifts for them." And so Mateo has gone on, this spirit of giving and encouraging others to give. It didn't stop in any one of these things. It's like the more that he does, the more he wants to do. And that's the spirit that we hope to engender here in the course of our mission as a church for Jesus. So some of the places that and organizations that Mateo has organized for include the Reddington Police Department, the White House Rescue Squad. He helped create at the middle school a field day event for special needs children through Hunterdon Outreach. One May, he hosted a dinner to honor veterans at the American Legion in White House. And so I needed to find out more about Mateo. And so I contacted his website, and I said, "I want to meet you, and I wonder if you would talk to us and help inspire us with the spirit of giving that you have." Because there was so much joy in what Mateo does, and I wanted a little piece of it. And I wanted some for all of us. And I read that he's always looking for a way to put a smile on someone's face. And that's a big reason why he wanted to have this Pay It Forward Day. I also read about Gold's Gym and how he encouraged Gold's Gym to work with him to support the 1st Platoon Wolfpack 102 that's stationed in Jordan overseas. And so right now they're collecting for their workout equipment, chalk and boxing gloves and lifting straps and lifting gloves and lifting belts. And I think that's amazing. He seems limitless. And he's not worried. He just keeps going forward. And one day last spring, I did meet Nico, who is Mateo's older brother. And Nico, I met him in a store where he was working. And Nico said, in one of these articles, "You may have heard of the show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. In our house, it's Keeping Up with Mateo." And so I wanted to know more about this family. How did this child come to be? And so Mateo wasn't able to be with us today because he's not feeling well. He had an accident in football, and he's been ill for the week. But he did send some very important people, and I would like you to hear directly from them. So, Antonia and Mark, Colleen, would you come and address us and let us know about what's been going on in your family?
Let's clap for them as we thank them.
You can be down there. That's fine. Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're so honored to be here. The pastor reached out to us, and we can't thank you and her enough.
We're a little shocked and very honored. Thank you.
So we are the proud parents of three wonderful boys, and they each have their own story. We're here to discuss about Mateo today, right? And he was just very young when all this came about. When he first wanted to donate food to the food pantry, it was very... I'm sorry.
Yeah. He...
emotional.
I have to differ with you here. I know we're here to talk about Mateo, but I think Mateo, it does go back to his brothers. You know, he's 7 years younger than his... brother, his middle brother, and 8 years younger than his oldest brother. When Mateo was born, his brother, Nico, which is our child that Pastor Liz met when he was working, he was home at that time. He had casts on both legs. He was in a wheelchair. He was born handicapped and crippled. That's how they came in and registered him. Apparently, when he was born, a child who has a physical deformity gets registered with the state as handicapped. They came in to do that. And I never forgot those words when they said that he was crippled and handicapped. He was a kid who had many, many surgeries, an amazing surgery that was... came across an amazing doctor that pioneered this particular surgery, and we didn't know if it was going to work. We had no choice, though, because he couldn't walk. I was told when he was born he would never walk. So he had many surgeries, and at 7 years old, he had another major surgery. He was in a wheelchair, and at that point, Mateo was born. Nico was home. I was homeschooling him. We were all sleeping in one room. Mark was working overnight in law enforcement, and so we all slept and camped out in the family room on an L-shaped sofa with a sleeper bed in it, and Mateo was in a little bassinet. Nico laid across the long end of the sleeper, and I would carry him at night. I had to carry him to the bathroom and, you know, wake up with Mateo. Nico and Mateo developed a strong bond at that time. And again, Nico could not walk at that time, but we were hoping he had a surgery, and we were hoping that he was going to come out of this and be able to walk and run, just even... walk. So Mateo and him developed a very special bond at that time. And Mateo's life always was having a brother with special needs. I think Mateo saw all of that, you know, going to seeing his brother in a wheelchair. We got involved with an organization, outreach program, you know, with kids' special needs. Mateo always kind of, I think, had a special spot in his heart for kids like this because his brother was like this. His brother has his own story. He went on to play sports and be pretty amazing. We never expected, coming right out of a wheelchair. By 9 years old, he was like the pitcher that the travel teams were calling me for, and he was being recruited like... We never tried out for any of these travel leagues, not thinking that, you know, we're just, you know, we have a special needs kid no matter what. He's walking now, but, he's not an athlete yet. It seems children come out of the womb and they join sports, but Nico didn't have that. So we didn't think of him that way until all the teams were calling us and asking us to have Nico pitch. He apparently had an arm that was like a rocket. And no one could hit a ball off of him. He had developed so much upper body strength, I guess, from the years catapulting himself and chaos in the wheelchair. At this point, he was walking. He went on to play football, and I was so happy to see the Cole family here because they were one of the families that I remember from football early on. And no one really knew that when our son was coming in at 14, 15 years old, that was his first time ever playing. And mom was really scared. He had titanium in his legs. He had major surgeries just to walk. And by the following year, he was the MVP. He has an amazing spirit. That is the you know, one of the brothers that Mateo has that he has grown up and looks up to. You know, there's nothing you can't accomplish or do. Stephen, also the older brother, he had other issues. Nico was physical deformities. Stephen was born, he was on a autistic spectrum. And we always kind of knew something was going on, something was a little different. He has his own story. He also achieved things today that he was told he would never be able to do, but he did. And so he's an engineer today with an engineering and physics degree. He was special needs. He was slow. He had all kinds of disabilities, couldn't speak well. But he accomplished things that he should never be able to accomplish. So Mateo, I had to say that because then comes Mateo with these two older brothers, and he kind of witnessed all the trials and the tribulations that we went through with the boys. You know, all the pain and the tears and the tough moments. And Mateo was this little soul who just always offered these amazing words at a very young age. You know, his older brothers never even understood what he was saying. You know, and I always say this, but when he was about 4 years old, we were moving into a new home that we were building, and he said to me, the boys were all at the counter eating lunch or something, and I'm packing the fridge, and he says to me, Mom, you know what we should do this evening? He was about four, and I said, what, Mateo? And he said, we should grab a chair and sit outside and watch the sunset in the backyard. And his older brothers all looked at me and looked and said, he's a little strange, Mom. He's, you know, like, why does a four-year-old say something like that? But these were the kinds of things he did always say. And he would always say to us, you know, one day I'm going to change the world. He was about three, four, five, and we didn't know how to respond. And we'd say, okay. But yes, going on with what he did, he was a kid who never wanted toys, right? He only played with, like, balls, a basketball, a football. He never wanted any toys. So when his birthday came and we were having little birthday parties like the kids do at school at the sports complexes and things like that, he walked into the bathroom one morning and he's always thinking, and he said, Mom, I don't want people to bring gifts. I don't play with any of those things. I still have the stuff from last year. You know, haven't even opened some of it. And so we started to talk about, well, maybe we can do something with the gifts. And I contacted the township to see if there was any kind of program for children that were in need. They directed us to Family Promise. And when Mateo came home from school, I told him about this place. And he was excited. And I said, well, we're going to go visit them. You know, not knowing that here in wealthy Hunterdon County, we had we had homeless children or families. And I brought him there, and we did a tour. And, you know, as an adult, it was very difficult to go there and see this. But Mateo kind of fell apart on me. He, when we left there, he wouldn't speak. He sat in the car, wouldn't speak. Went home, he wouldn't speak. And it was hours later that he came downstairs and he said, I want to do something. He was teary. He cried over the fact that there was a two-year-old little girl that followed him around, and she only had a drawer. All her belongings were in one drawer. Actually, all the family's belongings were in one drawer. That's all they had. All my children are such, they're really loving and caring kids. But Mateo takes things so deeply. Like, he goes to a whole nother level. It's like he almost takes everyone's pain on since he was a young boy. So he was always a little different that way, you know? So when the idea of giving the gifts to the kids, we got a list of what the kids would want for Christmas. They would list three items, hoping that, you know, we could find at least one for each child. Mateo, we planned his birthday party. He sent out an invitation that please bring a gift for one of these children in lieu of a gift for him. I did explain to Mateo at that time that He wasn't getting get any gifts from us. Like, his gift was his birthday party, which cost enough, you know, a few hundred dollars nowadays to have a party for a kid. I said, so you're giving them up. That doesn't mean we're getting anything for you. Like, this is what it's going to be. And he said, it's okay, Mom. I don't need anything. So we did this, and when the gifts all came in, people were so generous in the community, too, that they bought all three gifts that each kid wanted. And we have pictures. Mateo created a website at that time when he was very young, and he put pictures on it. You can actually go on the website and see all of this. We had bags of gifts that we brought into the Family Promise, and it was a wonderful wonderful moment, you know?
So when we asked Mateo to come, he was very struck by the events of the last couple of weeks. So
yeah.
Your family, he's a friend of Eden Carrera, who died by suicide. Yeah. So Mateo's first response was he didn't really want to come and speak about himself and live for a cause. He asked us to raise some funds for suicide prevention for teenagers, and that's why you have this flyer. So what we're hoping is we will have a second collection for Live for a Cause. So it would be nice in Mateo's honor and in Eden's honor to donate that way, to pay it forward. But also, we don't have a lot of teenagers with us today. But we all are connected in some way to teenagers. And so if you could take this flyer and leave it someplace, a doctor's office or a bulletin board or a library, or just leave it until the holidays, until you are around teenagers, and just pass it to somebody. Because if they don't need it themselves, they know somebody who does need this kind of support. It's support for bullying, support for kids who are depressed. It's as close as texting. And so it seems like in honor of all that Mateo and his family have done, we could do this little bit of help for them. So can you also tell us about the gifts that Mateo brought for us?
Yes.
Show us that.
He had made a poster to leave here at the church. Mateo is going to Main Streets. We have to get permits to go to different main streets. We're supposed to hit a main street on every town in the state, every county in the state, and try to get people to become more aware of Pay It Forward Day. So he did these little cards, and he ordered little bracelets. You see all the kids wearing them nowadays, these little rubber little bracelets, and it says Pay It Forward Day. Some of them say Live for a Cause. You know, he had put them together thinking, you know, maybe you have kids or grandkids or, you know, that could wear them around. And, you know, like I said, the young kids wear them today. Many of them you'll see on them.
So I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.